This is the Quality News Network. Another violent day in and around Baghdad today, with as many as 100 people killed in mostly Shiite areas by several bombings and a mortar attack. At least 156 people were wounded. An Iraqi official reports that the mayor of Bakuba was kidnapped by 20 armed gunmen today. His office was blown up afterwards. Today, one U.S. soldier was killed by a roadside bomb in a northern Iraqi province. This weekend, the two-day death toll for the American military was at least 27. Two Marines were killed on Sunday in the Anbar province. 25 troops were killed on Saturday, making it the third deadliest day for the U.S. military since the war began. President Bush will deliver his State of the Union address tomorrow evening. He's expected to talk about energy security. Freshman Senator Jim Webb of Virginia will deliver the Democratic Party's response afterwards. On the eve of his address, the CEOs of 10 major companies are urging the president to support mandatory reductions in climate-changing pollution. The executives represent chemical, utilities, and aluminum corporations. The latest APAOL poll finds the president's approval rating is 36%. That's up from 32% in early January. This weekend, the 2008 presidential primary field became more crowded. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton announced on her website that she is running for president. Yesterday, Democratic New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson announced he is also running. And on Saturday, conservative Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas also declared. California may move up its primary from June to February, making it a bigger player in the 2008 presidential contest. A bipartisan group of lawmakers with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's support introduced legislation last week to make the change. The Supreme Court threw out a California sentencing law today. The court limited the judge's discretion in defendant's sentences. The decision could result in shorter sentences for many of the state's prisoners. After 4 days of jury selection in the perjury trial of Lewis Scooter Libby, former Chief of Staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, 37 prospective jurors have been chosen. Opening arguments in the case are scheduled to begin tomorrow. Iran's foreign minister asserted his country's authority over UN nuclear inspectors. 38 of them were barred from coming into the country, apparently to retaliate against recent sanctions over Tehran's nuclear program. You are listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news coming up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of The Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At The Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
After increased concern over growing gender imbalance in the world's most populous country, China is vowing to protect female infants. The country's official news agency said this imbalance could affect social stability and is a hidden danger to Chinese society. The world's largest drug maker, Pfizer, announced 10,000 jobs will be eliminated as part of a $2 billion a year cost-cutting plan. Three of its research sites and two manufacturing plants, all in the U.S., will be closed. An AIDS group is suing Pfizer, the maker of Viagra, for illegally promoting the recreational use of the pill in its advertising. The group says this has resulted in risky behavior and an increase in sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV. Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, has begun an online health site. Revolution Health will offer free and paid services, including information on health topics, doctors, and insurance. Opening statements were heard in the Coca-Cola trade secrets theft trial in Atlanta today. A former secretary for the beverage maker is implicated in the conspiracy to help rival Pepsi. Light sweet crude is trading at $51.13 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 88 points at 12,477. The NASDAQ is down 20 points, and the S&P 500 is down 7. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most
11,
of the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard to Foxed Up here for another week on the Head On Radio Network. And boy, do we have a full day. And we're going to do some stuff that's not real green to start off with because I am so disgusted with the Australian mainstream media, most of the Australian government, and the rednecks they support. Okay? Those of you in the, you know, folks in the States, you're familiar with the, probably familiar with the concert festival Lollapalooza, right? Now, Lollapalooza was actually a friendly, a nicely ripped-off idea from Australia. Perry Farrell came down and toured a thing called the Big Day Out, which happens this time every year, and it does all capital cities, blah blah blah. It's a big international concert festival. It's an institution here. Well, last year, the Sydney Big Day Out was only weeks after the Cronulla riots, and you folks will remember the Cronulla riots, where all of Australia's best rednecks came out and started bashing brown people. And so, at the Big Day Out last year, you had a whole bunch of flag wearing, and I'll get into why that's an issue, rednecks in the crowd, going up to people and doing things like, kiss the flag or we'll bash you. Pledge your allegiance to the Australian flag or we'll kill you. So, this year, the promoters of the Big Day Out had their hand forced. So they have requested, not made a mandate, not created a ban, but they have asked concert goers to leave their Australian flags at home because it has been used in the form of a gang set of colors here in Sydney. Now, the statement from the Big Day Out promoters specifically says this is not a ban. It says it's a request. Now, I have many friends that work the Big Day Out every year. And I rang up one of them last night and asked for his opinion on this. And he says, oh, well, you got a minute? And he remembers last year witnessing these events going on, the threats, the, you know, pledge your allegiance to Australia nonsense, you know, otherwise we're going to bash you or we're going to thump you. However, the one thing you have to realize at the big day out, which can be, you know, 40, 50,000 people, there are thousands of cops all over the place with sniffer dogs making sure that no one has a disco biscuit and no one smokes a joint, but yet they did absolutely nothing to stop the threats against concert goers. Now, John Howard, Kevin Rudd, who I really tend to like, but he's really angered with me. Our New South Wales premier, Morris Iema, have all come out going, this is the most un-Australian thing I've ever heard. Blah, 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 blah. That's a bunch of crap. First of all, this is not a national sports event. This isn't the Ashes series where it's Australia versus England. This is an international music festival. And the promoters are worried about the health and safety of the concert goers that are coming to the venue. Now, they haven't made this request in any other city. It's only in New South Wales because we've had such racial violence in this town. And what's interesting is we're gearing up for an election, okay? And there are people high up in the Liberal Party, John Howard's party here in New South Wales, that love to stir up this racial bullshit. And I have a few comments for, I have a few very specific comments. Now, I'm not a flag-waving person. I consider myself a citizen of the world. I am not a citizen of any individual nation. However, I understand having respect for a national flag. And there are certain standard rules for the handling of a national flag. And in America, it is considered sacrilege to wear the American flag, to let it touch the ground. And as my mate who is working on this year's big day out said, look, here in Australia, the Australian flag is made into napkins that you can wipe your mouth with. You can make it into toilet paper that you wipe your ass with. You can make it into a beach towel that you can lay on. Or you can wear it like a frickin' Superman cape. This goes against every single, you know, respectful handling of a flag that any nation, you know, there are certain rules. You know, you don't let it touch the ground. You don't fly it in darkness. So if they actually want to have respect for the Australian flag, how about telling all these people to stop wearing it like a damn cape like a superhero? I don't get it. And here's the bit that I'm so thankful. Thank you, Scott Barry, for giving me this information, mate. I didn't even realize this. As John Howard and all these people are getting up on their high horse saying, you know, the Anzacs fought for this and all these wars. Well, there's a simple fact that the Australian flag that we currently have was not actually created until 1953. There's only been one war fought under it. That was the Vietnam War. So as they go and make these claims that this is what the Anzacs fought for in World War I and World War II is a lie. And I cannot believe even the Australian ABC puts the headline up saying the big day out bans the flag, which is factually, absolutely, bare bones incorrect. They made a request for the safety and well-being of the concert goers. Yeah, I'm angry. This jingoistic crap. And I even wrote the Sunrise program, who did the same deal. I couldn't believe it. Got all jingoistic and, oh, it's an insult, it's an insult. And I said, you know what? If Australia should be flying any flag these days, it should be the stars and stripes, because they sure as hell haven't acted like an autonomous country in the last few years. Okay. With that, we're going to take our first break. I've blown my cork. And you know, this jingoistic crap has got to end. You know, it's just got to end. So, folks, we're going to come back. We've got I've got a little bit more Australian news, and then we've got today's track of the day, which is very, 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 very special, and it's something new. So stick around. You're with me, John Fox, on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network. Yeah.
Thank you so
much. Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture? Maybe now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed in the giant book. She read about bears, monkeys, tigers, and rooks. She had so much fun, she forgot the water spout and crawled to her library to see what else she could check out. If you like animals on the wild side, crawl on over to your local public library and check out Creature Feature, the summer reading program for teens.
Thank you, Agnes. Something to calm the boy down. And that is that really, really awesome remake of Imagine by a Perfect Circle off the Emotive album. And seriously, you need to get that album and stick it in your protest rotation. And on that record is a great cover of Freedom of Choice. It's just awesome. Okay. Now I'm going to try and not let this next story get me all riled up again. But on the idea of exactly whose flag should Australia be flying, you may have heard about this. Out of the Sydney Morning Herald, an anti-war protester who was barred from boarding a Qantas flight to London because he wore a provocative T-shirt has issued a challenge to the airline to fly him home dressed the same way. Alan Jason, 55, was told he could not leave Melbourne on Friday if he wore a T-shirt depicting the U.S. president as the world's number one terrorist. It was not the first time Mr. Jason has been told to remove the shirt. On December 2nd, a guard at London's Heathrow Airport told him, "You won't be flying with that on." Virgin Blue took the same action when Mr. Jason tried to catch a flight to Adelaide, but he wore the shirt on a return flight to Melbourne with Qantas on Friday. It was only after he approached a gate manager at Tullamarine for his flight to London that he was told to take it off. A Qantas spokesman said, and this just drives me nuts, quote, "Whether made verbally or on a T-shirt, comments with potential to offend other customers or threaten the security of Qantas aircraft or the security of Qantas aircraft will not be tolerated." Whatever happened to freedom of speech? And they were interviewing this guy on morning television this morning, and the guy says, "Well, look," he says. "I'm making a political statement here, you know. 600,000 Iraqis have been murdered, blah, 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 blah." And the host, who I like, turned around and says, "Oh, we don't need all the political spin." It's like, no, he's making a statement of fact. And I make a promise to you right now, the next time I fly, which very could possibly be an international flight out of this country to leave, I will have a similar shirt hidden underneath another shirt, and I will wait until we're well in the air, go into the loo, take the top shirt off, come back and sit down, then see what they do. That's my idea of protest. And I give this guy a lot of credit. He's losing money financially. He's trying to return to his job. He's an Australian citizen that works, I think, in IT or something in the UK. And, you know, so that's my promise to my listeners, that the next time I fly, I'm going to have the same shirt, but I'm not going to let them have a chance to block me at the gate. And I'll get one I'll try and find that one that actually shows Howard, Blair, and George Bush. Saying that they're all terrorists, because they are. Okay, let's move on to something much more fun. I think I'm gonna try and go for a little bit of a theme with the track of the day this week, and I think we're gonna do some stuff on roots music and things like Delta Blues guitar players and whatnot. I have quite a collection of this stuff, all the old. I'd love to get one of our African American listeners to find me a politically correct way to have to say something like Blind African American Tuesday, because if you look at my hard drive of music, there's a whole bunch of Blind African American guitar players on there, Blind Blake and the like. However, to launch it off, this is a discovery, and thank you to Scott at B1 Louder for bringing this to my attention and giving the network this album. If you go to myspace.com/CWStoneKing, we got a guy who's in his early 20s, Mr. Stone King. Now, this could very well be, we could be seeing the first record of the next Rye Cooter. This guy is a throwback to the great music of the 20s and the 30s. Now, the background story on this guy is something to the effect of his parents, both American citizens and educators, met at the Roots and Blues Festival down here in Australia. They get married, have a son. They move to the Northern Territory. This young man spent most of his developing life in the bush, working with his parents, working with Aboriginal tribes. Okay? And just to give you a little bit of a sense, from about C.W. Stone King off of his MySpace site, it says, he wears a ragged black suit and a preaching hat, makes tunes about singing dodo birds, hollers like a 1920s tent show blues shouter, plays guitar like a demon, and mutters to himself on stage. The legendary king of Hokum Blues, C.W. Stone King, is a true entertainer who relies on musicianship, stagecraft, and performance to invoke the spirit of the 1920s Southern blues in his original Hokum style. C.W. Stone King has just released a brand new album, King Hokum, recorded and produced in 2005 with Jay Walker. King Hokum contains 11 CW original songs and highlights his skill as a composer, as well as showcasing his tremendous vocal and instrumental style. And there are some reviews on here. The Sydney Morning Herald said, like a hellfire old timer from Mississippi Way. Four stars from Rolling Stone. And another album review from the Sydney Morning Herald says, this sounds as if someone set up a microphone in a back room around 1927 and recorded direct to wax the songs of the bluesman who does amusing party pieces with friends, as well as mournful turns. He also does New Orleans swing and plantation work songs, who plays his guitar and banjo as if they are a natural part of him, and his hooch roughened vocal chords are and a darn fine album. So I'm telling you, this is brand new, and this is a young guy. So with Dodo Blues, check out C.W. Stone King. Roll it, Agnes.
Hey, Bob! Hey, Bob! What's that old bird you got up there in that cave? This here is an old dodo bird. A dodo bird? No, ain't you never heard of a dodo bird before? No, I never see one before. Let's make this last one in existence. The last one in where? The last one in the world, see? So what you doing with it there? I'm just trying to make some money. Now, because you see this other one, it is old singing dodo bird. Well, that's a singing dodo bird, hey? That's right. So what you doing down there, old dodo bird? Well, I'm just sitting down this... I'm just sitting down this cage, going to sing a tune. Well, let's hear it then. Nothing can be right, but everything is wrong. Nothing can be wrong when I'm walking with my baby. I wish that I was. I said nothing. Nothing can be right, but everything is wrong. Nothing can be wrong when I'm walking with my baby. I wish that I was. My baby. Feel so lonesome. Nothing can be right, but everything is wrong. Nothing can be wrong when I'm walking with my baby. I wish that I was. got bad luck and misery. I sure like no to have next, old daughter boy. Give me $5. I'll listen all about none together. Anytime that I telephone, he don't return my call. If I can't smile when I feel blue, then I never smile at all. Bip-bop-a-dee-boo. Nothing can be right.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse. With 3.2 million members, MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
And so once again, my dear Johnny, my dear friend, and so once again, you are fighting us all.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And I have gotten a hold of the original Joni Mitchell of that track, and maybe we'll play that next week at some point. C.W. Stone King, how cool is that? just, I love old Delta guitar stuff, you know, and all the generations that have continued on or developed the tradition, you know, my mate Scott and I were talking about this the other day when he showed me the album, and he's the one that made the Ry Cooder comment, and he said, you know, like Ry Cooder, the last few albums has been going and traveling and doing music with different indigenous cultures and things, and so very curious to see what this guy ends up doing next. You know, he's done a body of work that is kind of, that is very much in a particular style. So will we possibly see him move on in the way that Ry did, and you know, the next album maybe move into another era and develop that, and you know, for a guy so young, it's a time warp. It's an absolute time warp. And we'll be hearing some of that stuff, some more of that stuff in the future, because I finally just got to hear the whole album yesterday, and it's fantastic. It is so much fun. And the guy who the bloke who engineered it has done a fantastic job of really capturing an era in sound. It's just, it's fantastic. But anyway, now Shrubia is going to be making his State of the Union address, right? And he's supposedly going to suddenly, you know, make some sort of calls on global warming. I believe that, like, I believe in the Tooth Fairy. But the Saudis are chiming in before he even gets to speak, and this is at the bloggers have posted this on the Horn blog. U.S. will need Mideast oil for years to come, say the Saudis. From Reuters in Washington, on the eve of U.S. President George W. Bush's address to Congress, which is expected to tout the need for more U.S. energy independence, Saudi Arabia's U.S. ambassador on Monday said the world's biggest oil user will rely on Middle East crude oil for many years to come. Bush's annual State of the Union address on Tuesday is expected to touch on key energy policy points after Bush made the surprise pronouncement during last year's address that the United States is addicted to crude oil, including supplies imported from the Middle East. However, U.S. policymakers should be talking about interdependence with Middle East suppliers, not independence, said Prince Turki Al-Faisal, the kingdom's U.S. ambassador speaking at George Washington University. I think we should be talking not about being independent from Middle East oil for the United States, but rather being interdependent with the Middle East for energy sources. I'll let you draw your own conclusions, talk amongst yourselves. boy, wouldn't that be just an absolute shot in the pocketbook of the Saudi royal family if the United States were able to become independent from their crude oil? How, you know, I mean, that's, I'll leave it there. Now, going on to other things, via The Guardian, via The Observer, there's a new report on global warming coming out in a few days, but they've leaked some of the details as they finalize it in lieu of Shrubby's attempt at speech tomorrow. And it says here, a study by the world's leading experts says global warming will happen faster and be more devastating than previously thought. It says global warming is destined to have far more destructive and earlier impact than previously estimated. The most authoritative report yet produced on climate change will warn next week. A draft copy of the fourth assessment report of Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change obtained by The Observer shows the frequency of devastating storms, like the ones that battered Britain last week, will increase dramatically. Sea levels will rise over the century by around half a meter. Snow will disappear from all but the highest mountains. Deserts will spread. Oceans become acidic, leading to the destruction of coral reefs and atolls and deadly heat waves will become more prevalent. The impact will be catastrophic, forcing hundreds of millions of people to flee their devastated homelands, particularly in tropical low-lying areas, where creating waves of immigrants whose movements will strain the economies of even the most affluent countries. The real chilling thing about the IPCC report is that it is the work of several thousand climate experts who have widely differing views about how greenhouse gases will have their effect. Some think they will have a major impact, others a lesser role. Each paragraph of this report was therefore argued over and scrutinized intensely. Only points that were considered indisputable survived this process. This is a very conservative document. That's what makes it so scary, said one senior UK climate expert. Okay, so they've gone on the conservative side on this. And they're still saying that this whole thing is really, really escalating. Again, wrap this up in that bundle of stuff and, you know, osmosis by violence, continue to beat over the 29% that deny what's happening. Continues, climate concerns are likely to dominate international politics next month. President Bush is to make the issue part of his State of the Union address on Wednesday, while the IPCC report's final version is set for release on the 2nd of February in a set of global news conferences. Although the final wording of the report is still being worked on, the draft indicates that scientists now have their clearest idea so far about the future climate changes, as well as about recent events. It points out that 12 of the past 13 years were the warmest since records began. Ocean temperatures have risen at least 3 kilometers beneath the surface. Glaciers, snow cover, and permafrost have decreased in both hemispheres. Sea levels are rising at the rate of almost 2 millimeters a year. Cold days, nights, and frost have become rarer, while hot days, hot nights, and heat waves have become more frequent. And I can tell you that from experience down here. And the cause is clear, say authors. It's very likely that man-made greenhouse gas increases caused most of the average temperature increases since the mid-20th century, says the report. To date, these changes have caused global temperatures to rise by 0.6 degrees Celsius. The most likely outcome of continuing rising greenhouse gases will make the planet a further 3 degrees Celsius hotter by 2100. Although the report acknowledges that rises of 4.5 to 5 degrees Celsius could be experienced, ice cap melting, rises in sea levels, flooding, cyclones, and storms will be an inevitable consequence. And a little further down, it says, and in a specific rebuff to skeptics who still argue natural variation in the sun's output is the real cause of climate change, the panel says mankind's industrial emissions have had 5 times more effect on the climate than any fluctuations in solar radiation. We are the masters of our own destruction, in short. And they wrap it up saying, however, there is still hope, said Peter Cox of Exeter University. We are like alcoholics who have got as far as admitting there is a problem. It is a start. Now we have to start drying out, which means reducing our carbon output. So, you know, the evidence is becoming overwhelmingly clear that this planet is in severe trouble. And again, it should be issue number one, because without a planet, everything else doesn't exist. Full stop. So we're going to take our last break for the afternoon and come back and do a few more things before we get out of here for the day and set you up for Bob Kincaid. And so you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I will be back with you straight after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Are you one of the 32 million people that take prescription medications? If you are, you might be affected by dry mouth and be surprised by sudden and rapid development of tooth decay. Dry mouth reduces saliva, making it difficult to swallow or speak, and can contribute to problems such as gum disease and oral infections. Talk to your general dentist today about your treatment options. Visit the Academy of General Dentistry at www.agd.org or call 1-877-2X-A-YEAR. For the Academy of General Dentistry, I'm Dr. Carl Jenkins.
Part of safe winter driving is being prepared and informed. It's easy, thanks to three simple digits, 511. Call 511 in Kansas to get route-specific road condition, construction, and travel weather information on every highway across the state. And it's a free service. Don't get caught in unsafe winter driving conditions. On the phone and on the web, 511 and 511.ksdot.org. 511 travel information all the time, when you need it, where you need it. This message brought to you by the Kansas Department of Transportation.
Most people I know think that I'm crazy.
Yeah, that'd be about right. Welcome back, everybody. This is John Fox here on Fox Stuff on the Head On Radio Network. Everyone I know thinks that I'm crazy, but it's a good kind of crazy. Anyway, Some interesting, you'll remember back, I think it was just in December, the Stern Report, which brought together the economics of climate change and the costs that it would incur on business if they don't start doing something soon to get in on, get with the program, A. Now, there's a couple of stories that are showing good signs. From environmentaldefense.org, there's an alert here. This is really cool. 10 major companies call for climate action. Environmental Defense is one of three founding members of a group of high-level corporate and environmental leaders that made a groundbreaking announcement today in Washington, D.C. I think this was yesterday. The group called for a cap-and-trade system to combat climate change. Their historic proposal, a call to action, urges the federal government to set limits for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, to create market-based incentives, and most of all, to act swiftly and thoughtfully. With no fewer than 8 pieces of legislation at play in Congress, the group's call serves as a powerful catalyst for action. This is a game changer for action on global warming, said Environmental Defense President Fred Krupp, one of those who originated the corporate environmental group discussion. Krupp stressed the importance of involving businesses not only to increase pressure on Congress, but ensure that any plan for fighting climate change was also a boost for the U.S. economy. We chose a cap-and-trade approach because it guarantees the cuts we need, while it unleashes cash and creativity from the private sector. This plan is a jobs winner as well as an environmental winner. Who are the companies? The companies involved in today's announcement are well-known corporations from the energy, manufacturing, and financial services. Alcoa, BP America, Caterpillar, Duke Energy, DuPont, Florida Power and Light, General Electric, a founding member, go figure, Lehman Brothers, Pacific Gas and Electric, and PNM Resources. The partners pledged to work together to support 6 recommendations for national action. Account for the global dimensions of climate change. The U.S. government should become more involved in international agreements for addressing global warming. Hello, let us on with Kyoto. Recognize the importance of technology. The cost-effective deployment of existing energy-efficient technology should be a priority. Be environmentally effective. Mandatory requirements and incentives must be stringent enough to achieve necessary emissions reductions. Create economic opportunity and advantage. A climate protection program must use the power of the market to establish clear targets and timeframes. Be fair. Global warming solutions must account for the disproportionate impact of both global warming and emissions reductions on some economic sectors, geographic regions, and income groups. And encourage action. Prior to the effective date of mandatory pollution limits, every reasonable effort should be made to reduce emissions. Yay, a round of applause. A round of applause for these corporations. And like General Electric. You know, I mean, one of the biggest war profiteers on the planet is getting on board with this. It's a little odd, but hey. I think the Stern Report seriously opened up the eyes of a lot of business that being willfully ignorant or having cognitive dissonance over the issue of climate change is not going to allow them to stay in business for long. It's time to pull your head out of your arse and start doing what needs to be done. On the same line, from Business Week Online, which you can find at businessweek.com, and there's links to all this stuff on today's show post, there's a piece called Beyond the Green Corporation, and it says, imagine a world in which eco-friendly and socially responsible practices actually help a company's bottom line. It's closer than you think. And they speak here, it says, under conventional notions of how to run a conglomerate like Unilever, CEO Patrick Sissou should wake up each morning with a laser-like focus, how to sell more soap and shampoo than Procter & Gamble, but ask Sissou about his $52 billion Dutch-British grant's biggest strategic challenges for the 21st century, and the conversation roams from water-deprived villages in Africa to the planet's warming climate. The world is Unilever's laboratory in Brazil. The company operates a free community laundry in Sao Paulo, provides financing to help tomato growers convert to eco-friendly drip irrigation, and recycles 17 tons of waste annually at a toothpaste factory. Unilever funds a floating hospital that offers free medical care in Bangladesh, a nation with just 20 doctors for every 10,000 people. In Ghana, it teaches palm oil producers to reuse plant waste while providing potable water to deprived communities. In India, Unilever staff help thousands of women in remote villages start micro-enterprises. And responding to green activists, the company discloses how much carbon dioxide and hazardous waste its factories spew out around the world. As Sissou sees it, helping such nations wrestle with poverty, water scarcity, and the effects of climate change is vital to staying competitive in coming decades. See, this is exactly what the Stern Report was saying, okay? That being sustainable in the long run is going to ensure profitability. So, I keep getting the impression that the wave is getting bigger. And, you know, we're I don't know, it feels like it's slowly becoming an exponential thing. And I just, I'm really happy about this. And there, further down in the article, it says that, you know, this is more than they, Unilever says this is more than a PR stunt. This is something that is core to their business. And so my hat off to them, seriously. And I can't even tell you how shocked I am that General Electric is a founding member of this new organization that I spoke of before. So, you know, I think the reality is coming crashing down on people. And, I mean, if you lived in Sydney over this past weekend, I'm telling you, you know, there was a time that, you know, when we got up to, you know, 100 degrees Fahrenheit here, 40 Celsius approximately, you would wait, you'd just kind of stand tall or in a puddle, whichever you may choose, and sometime later in the evening, this great southerly winds would kick in and drop the temperature by like 10 degrees Celsius in the matter of minutes, and there would be some relief. The southerlies are not coming anymore. Things are changing. Things are changing drastically. And there we go. With that, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for spending this time with me today again, folks. I hope you enjoyed C.W. Stone King, and you can find his MySpace. There's links at the on today's show post. Thank you to Agnes for engineering the program and producing the program with brilliance as usual. Bob Kincaid for announcing the program. Our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, who send me so much stuff. I just get up in the morning and I kind of open it all up and fill in all the holes for, you know, and these guys program my show half the time. And thank you, Agnes. You had a bunch of stunts that popped up here. Ben Birch is still running his fundraiser over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go over and do the right thing. Thank you to the Carpenters and Millwrights for what they do for the horn. Everything happens because of those hardworking men and women. Scott Berry and B1 Louder Productions, you're not only a great mate, but man, you're such a great source of Australian history and political history. I can't thank you enough, and I'm so glad that you take my phone calls at 11 o'clock at night when I'm going, what is this all about? So anyway, folks, at the front page of the Horn, you will see a banner for We Now Have a Head On Radio Network toolbar for your browser. You can listen to the Horn directly from your internet browser, so check it out. Thanks, everybody. As we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid...
This is the Quality News Network. Another day of heavy violence in and around Baghdad, with as many as 100 people killed in mostly Shiite areas by several bombings and a mortar attack. At least 156 people were wounded. An Iraqi official reports that the mayor of Bakuba was kidnapped by 20 armed gunmen today. His office was blown up afterwards with explosives. The day before, his office was raided, weapons were stolen, and guards were locked up in a room. Today, one U.S. soldier was killed by a roadside bomb in a northern Iraqi province. This weekend, the two-day death toll for the American military was at least 27. President Bush will deliver his State of the Union address tomorrow evening. He is expected to talk about energy security. Freshman Senator Jim Webb of Virginia will deliver the Democratic Party's response afterwards. On the eve of the address, the CEOs of 10 major companies are urging the president to support mandatory reductions in climate-changing pollution. This weekend, the 2008 Democratic presidential primary field became more crowded. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton announced on her website that she is running for president. And yesterday, Democratic New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson announced he is also a candidate. On Saturday, conservative Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas also declared. Opening arguments begin tomorrow in the perjury trial of Lewis Scooter Libby, a former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney. 37 jurors have been selected. Iran's foreign minister asserted his country's authority over UN nuclear inspectors. 38 were barred from coming into the country, apparently to retaliate against recent sanctions over Tehran's nuclear program. Kenyan authorities say they have custody of the second highest member of Somalia's Islamic forces. He reportedly surrendered to them today and is at a hotel in Nairobi. In Gaza City this evening, an explosion damaged the Al Arabiya, the satellite channel.